Hey, Nico.
Hey, Con.
I love you.
I love you.
No homo.
A little bit of homo for me.
Just a little?
Just a smidge. From two guys who were never part of the Boys Club, we want to welcome you to ours.
Welcome to Boys Club.
This is our podcast.
About boys.
And about other things.
Like their clubs.
And the things we were a part of.
Hockey.
And we're not a part of.
Bagels.
Wait, did you say we were a part of hockey?
No, I wasn't.
Me neither. Welcome to the club, boys.
Grab a bagel.
Connor's like, what do boys eat?
My feelings.
What's up, Connor?
Hey, how are you doing? It's nice to see you.
You know, let me say this. You've got glasses on today.
What? It's weird to bring up my disability.
Wow. And to see me for the first time.
I've never felt further from you, to be honest.
Being in your glasses. I mean, you look like you should be like, I don't know, like reading.
I'm doing this thing where I dress like a guy who gets what he wants.
Wow.
Does that make sense?
And what does this, does this man want?
I just like don't care. Like I just don't care. Like I just, you know, those guys that are just like,
they don't care.
They don't, they're probably bi, but they don't have the verbiage for it.
Sure.
And they just don't care.
Okay.
And they kind of wear pants like this and they wear Birks. I'm wearing Birks in my own house.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm kind of doing this thing where it's like dress for the job you want. And it's like someone who doesn't care. I don't care.
Well, let me just say that you look striking in your glasses.
I'm trying to think. Thank you. It's hard. I feel like what I don't like about glasses is that I just feel
like a phony.
Not a phony. Not a phony even at all. I feel like there's like
because they don't have prescriptions in them.
Nico, you've never walked a mile in my glasses. You have no idea what it's like to wear these. You don't know. Like maybe they're not helping me see literally, but they're helping me see figuratively.
Sure.
Like I feel like in some ways, I don't know that what's in front of me has ever been more clear, but I think what's ahead of me has.
Yeah.
As clear as day.
Wow.
What I need to do. So I do like glasses. I'm trying to think of like, I can picture a guy that I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm. Does he play Frisbee?
Yeah. He does. Wait, let's talk about this man. So like a guy that plays Frisbee, he has a golden retriever. He's nice to his mom. His dad.
Birkenstocks.
He wears Birkenstocks.
You want to be this guy?
Yeah. And this is, I think that this is kind of what's next for me.
Mm.
Dress like someone who gets what he wants.
You plus this coffee mug is really working for me.
That's from Ireland. Don't make me do the accent. Ireland.
For the third week in a row.
We're going down to Shore. Oh, wait, no, that's Philly. I can't do it.
No, but this is giving Catholic in a big way, this mug. It's got a nice big cross on it.
I'm dressing like that guy that won. Actually, thank you for saying that. Mm-hmm. This is kind of like that guy who was in law school that I hooked up with, and he came here, and I think he was wearing Birkenstocks, but he did take a city bike here. And then he looked at my corkboard and saw the Catherine McCauley prayer and was like, oh. And then it turns out that really led to a great conversation, which was the first conversation we had after we nutted. And then he said that he goes to church every Sunday. You never know what gay practicing Catholic in law school is in your neighborhood and it's going to city bike to you. And he kind of did have glasses.
Wow.
And he was like really hot, but also like there was just like, you do have to like have something going on inside.
Uh-huh.
It's not enough to just be a Catholic lawyer who's going to city bike to me. Like that's not enough.
Can I say this? If you're a gay Catholic lawyer, I think you have a lot going on inside.
Wait, this reminds me, today I was on the train and the person next to me who looked totally chill was reading this book. And it was about, can God change sexuality? And the answer, it literally said the answer is unambiguously yes. And part of me wanted to be like, hey.
Unambiguously yes.
Unambiguously yes. And part of me was like, hey, like, are you okay? In conversion therapy? Like, you don't have to do this. Like, you're on the F train. Like, come back.
F is for fag. Get right
F
on
board. F is for fags. Like, you don't need to live this way.
Damn. Well, that's tough.
I want to be like, I've got a podcast that can help you come out.
Literally, the only way to combat conversion therapy is this podcast.
I love having a podcast with you.
Me too. Oh my God. Thank you. I love having a podcast with
you. I really do. And I worry that when I say that, it's like,
felt very genuine.
Oh yeah. I always worry that when you say things like that, you can either detract people. No one will ever love you as much as I do. But I'm working through the feelings that it's actually okay to say things like that.
Mm.
But what it made me think of it was listening to a podcast. Don't make me cut this.
Okay.
Listening to a podcast with two gay guys. Not Stradio Lab. I love Stradio Lab. But like some other podcast that we've never had these people on. We don't even know them. And it's not Dylan Carlino. I think he's hilarious. So like, it's not him either.
Shout out, Dylan.
But I was like, if I was on a two gay guy podcast, mm-hmm. it would just be really bring out the worst in me. And like, I just don't think, and I think if I was on a podcast with a straight girl, I think it would also bring out the worst in me.
Well, do you feel that you bend towards some sort of expectation of what those people think you should be?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. I think that.
Whereas there's no blueprint for what a trans man would expect of you. So you can really be yourself.
Trans men are the last community that aren't asking me for anything.
I mean, and we wouldn't dare ask anything of a side.
That is so. I don't like how you said that.
It would be punching down.
It is like on Grindr. We've talked about this. Like the lowest, the worst thing you can be is trans on Grindr, and the second worst thing is a side.
That is, by worst we mean to the the dominant norm.
We mean the movie's going to be about you, as we've said before. Yeah, the movie's about you.
The movie's about you.
You're the main character on Grindr if you're trans or a side.
Yeah.
The main character is not the 35-year-old in an open relationship who works at Google. He's sending his cock pics out to everybody. Mm-hmm, like, mm-hmm. Bro.
Who
you have
says
a mom.
No trans, no sides, because that's fucked.
Yes, thank you, because I was text negative, and then you actually made him bad, which kind of justified what I said in a good way. So, like, thank you for doing that. Because, like, I kind of was getting us into, like, sex negative territory, which I would never openly be.
No, of course, of course, of course. Have you been thinking about any boys clubs for this week?
I don't know why. I just, like, thought that was headed to so many different places that it never went to. Because I thought it was going to be, like, have you been... think something like, have you been having sex? I thought that's what it was going to be, because that's what you're talking about. And then he said, I've even been thinking about boys. I was like, I've thinking about boys. And it was like, and then
I've
it ended
busy
at a club.
Thinking about boys. Bring
what is that?
Boys. It's a song. I've been busy thinking. Who is that?
I know the song for sure.
Boys. Bring boys.
It's kind of like,
I've been busy thinking about
Lady Gaga has a song, Boys, 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 and Dad.
You know what song I had stuck in my head the other day? And just this part. You're so gay and you don't even like boys.
She did that in her thing. In her, did you see that?
What thing?
She at the Grammys had like a 15-minute set. You didn't see it?
In this year.
Like a month ago.
Oh my God.
It was the VMAs.
That's one of those songs you look back and you say, oh, you know, maybe I could have been better. And maybe that was a reflection of the early aughts and the times I was
writing.
Well,
part of me thinks that it would have been on. It would have been okay in 2007, and then it wouldn't have been okay in 2015. And then guess what? No, it's
we're
okay.
Back to okay.
It's like it's actually okay now.
Well, that's what people think, at least.
But like in VMAs, where like Chapel Roan is this, and I'm not defending it. I think Katy Perry is such a wackadoodle. I've always thought that.
Mm-hmm.
I've always only liked the song where she binds herself. Part of me. That's the
this
only good song.
A part of me. I mean, I like
no.
Okay.
Wait, no, you say it, but I'm going to disagree. What is it?
No, I'm just thinking back, like, California Girls, Firework. Like, she has some hits, no doubt, that I don't think I'm not turning to necessarily.
Yeah, Firework's amazing if
last
you
Friday
have a
night.
Target brand.
I don't know. I think if any of those songs come on and you're, like, she has some fun songs for sure. I'm not turning to her. I also have stated on this podcast, and I still believe, and I've seen some come out since, but I'm always kind of like, who are the Katy Perry stans?
I have an answer for you.
I know.
33-year-old gay men and women.
Okay. Gay men.
Gay men and straight women.
Okay, okay.
That I would not want to have a podcast with.
Sure, sure. Well, anyway, just crazy to me, to your point, in the year that Chapel Roan takes home Artist of the Year or whatever she won, the big award, to then also be doing a tribute to Katy Perry where she sings, you're so gay and you don't even like boys.
Yeah. And she is like the hottest person she's so hot. And
oh, yeah.
Like, I don't know. I don't know where she went wrong.
Maybe Russell Brand.
Oh, yeah, that was a bad one. But now she's with Orlando Bloom, Uncut King.
How do
British.
You know that? Okay.
I told you I'll draw you a map.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's your 23andMe. It's just where you're from and if you're cut or not.
I keep being like, make a podcast that your dad will be proud of. Make a podcast that your dad will be proud of. Please do this. Make a podcast. And it just, he hates talking about getting cut or not. He like literally hates it. He like thinks it's so annoying.
Well, sorry, Mr. Janda, that we're talking about your least favorite subject. Okay, we're getting on to some boys clubs.
Okay, so I have a couple. Do you want to go first?
You go first.
No. Okay, sure. Well, so one would be IKEA.
Unless
and
you don't have one, and then I can go first.
No, I'll think of one.
Because I don't have one either.
Oh my God, wait. I know. It's like, I don't want to do it anymore either. Like, I just like hate the part where we have to do the boys clubs.
It's not that I hate the part that we have to do the boys clubs. It's more that I just, my mind was on other things this week, if I'm honest with you.
No, completely. God, yeah. You know what? You have so much going for you, but also so much against you. And like, it's understandable that you would have, that your mind would be on other things.
Yeah. I mean, I don't want to bring up, anything. We're getting really close to a very certain thing coming up.
I know.
And it's making me, I'm trying not to be nervous until day of.
Oh, I know. So, well, my cousin texted me and said, is Nico coming to D.C. the day after the election, like, on purpose? And I said, no, that's not an on-purpose thing.
No.
That's kind of like a punishment, it feels it like. Is.
When they reached out to me about doing the shows in D.C., it was a while ago now, but they gave me that date, and I didn't want to, like, say no and have to, like, maybe get, you know, not have another date for a while or something. I just wanted to do it. And
that was the earliest?
I don't know.
Just offered it to
you. It was just the one they offered me first, and I was kind of like, I guess we'll see. But, so I will be in D.C. the weekend after the election. God willing, it'll be a party.
Why would D.C. be any weirder than any other place?
Well, I mean, I guess the insurrection did happen well after the fact last
time.
Oh, you're
right. That is where the insurrection was.
But
that's a valid point.
If something goes down and there's any sort of, like, I don't know, protest.
You can be harbored in my brother's apartment. Yeah. I have two brothers and two cousins there.
So I'll be safe. I'll be wrapped in a Janda blanket of love.
That's so great.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe my brother will come see you do comedy before he sees me do anything. Did I say this last time?
You did.
Okay, well, yeah.
And the good news is he didn't listen to either one.
No, never has. Never has. But that's, like, fine. Like, you know, he's busy. We all make different choices. Like, I've never engaged with his work, so it's all good. I've never seen a deposition.
Sure, yeah.
So I get it. No, but I think that's amazing and that's great, and I will never be at a loss of things to say, so I'm going to continue speaking right now. Do you think that's a skill that you have because of this podcast?
That I can always talk?
And people are like, oh my God, you're so good at conversation. It's like, yeah, I don't remember a single thing you said.
You know, I think that I'm more, I don't know. I think as I've gotten older, I don't remember what it was like to make conversation as a kid.
Uh-huh.
As a high schooler,
sure.
Even as a college student, because I didn't really have to make new friends in college. Like, I did, but I had teammates right away, so I was kind of, like, inundated with, like, 30 people who I was going to spend a lot of time with and naturally became friends with them. And then when I moved to New York, I kind of had a similar experience with, like, stand-up and stuff. But anyway, I was saying all this to say, now as an adult, I'm like, maybe it's just the nature of our jobs. We're in a lot of, like, social situations where there's a lot of people and we have to talk to people and, like, it's so much small talk and all this shit, and it just feels like a lot of, like, mixers all the time is kind of how it feels, like little
I hate parties. Making small talk. I hate going to parties.
I hate it. I hate it so much. And I don't know if that's just being an adult or being in the entertainment industry or, like, I don't know if it's, like, a trans thing where I'm just, like, more socially aware than I was about how I'm, like, coming across. Maybe it's not. I have no idea. But it's just, like, I feel like I hate talking to people.
You're trans and I'm socially anxious.
No, but I'm socially anxious because I'm trans.
Okay, well, then what's my excuse?
Because you're a gay guy.
You're so right that it's like, can someone just, like, tell us what we're so... I need maybe to take a day off the detachment podcast. Be like, here's how to detach. Well, I have to tell you something.
Please.
I had this realization. You know, Nico, I think things are really coming together for us.
He just took his glasses off.
Do you think that?
Yeah.
I think things are really coming together for us. I do. And I had this realization that I don't really... I'm not, like, desperately yearning for the things that we've done. Like, I want them really bad.
Mm-hmm.
They haven't been a source of stress and blah, 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 like, misery.
Yeah.
In the way, like, in the way that other things have been. And it's like, oh, the answer is detach. I've been detached. And, like, obviously working hard, whatever. And it's like, well, now this is coming. Blah, blah. And it's like, yeah, because you weren't crazy about it.
Like, emotionally detaching yourself.
Like, we've always worked very hard.
Yeah.
Of course. But there was... It was there. It was less felt like out of a place of desperation, and then it's like, oh well, things have fallen together because like you were just a shining beacon of light
and detaching from the like the potential for some a bad outcome or something.
Yes, I'm really learning to detach from all of it. Detach. I said my solid core demo today was I was just like, you just got to detach from this experience. Don't have expectations for it. Detach. When in doubt, detach.
I'm gonna tell that to my kids. Hey, detach yourself from this.
You'll be like, you're young, soccer's
they said,
hard,
we don't even
detach.
Know what the fuck that means. much.
I don't really know what it means either. I can kind of tell. I'm kind of just like getting a loose understanding of it. But like, I keep listening to like random solo podcasts of like every woman under the sun who's ever like gotten her way to a microphone. Yes, literally. And it's like, so you did you set this up yourself? Because I know how hard that is. It's crazy.
Yeah. I also feel like we're doing well and we're in a good spot. Sorry if this is the most boring episode we've ever done.
Wait, can I be honest with you? Fuck all of you. No, I'm sorry. No. Cut that part. I don't mean that. Are they going to get mad? I'm so sorry.
They might.
I know we're not being as fun anymore, but like we don't have time to have guests on right now until maybe next week when we should have guests. Because like we're going to get one. We're going to get one.
How about I ask you the question that we usually ask our guests? What is a boys club you were not a part of growing up?
Oh my God. I cry. my father's love.
No. I think that's a boys club of one, no offense to your other brothers.
When I was like four.
Can I ask you that?
Sure, which one?
Do your brothers have a similar relationship to your father that you do?
No.
Okay.
Like, I'm not saying that. Like,
obviously, he loves all of you equally.
He definitely loves all of us equally because he says that
despite your best efforts.
I'm always like, so like, do you feel extra close to me more than the other? Like, more so than like, do you feel like we have a weird bond? And I think he's pretty big on like not comparing things.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good dad.
Wait, I was thinking this, like, my dad doesn't understand me, but he does love me.
Yeah.
And I've always felt that with him. I think that's kind of what you want out of a dad. He doesn't need to get you.
Well, I don't think most dads do get their kids.
Totally doesn't get me at all. Totally doesn't. He thinks I should still be teaching in Chicago. He was like, don't quit that job. You're like, you should stay.
He said, if you work hard enough teaching, you can find a woman to breadwin and have your own three gay sons.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's very risk averse.
Yeah.
And so we're just like different.
He's a good Catholic.
Uh-huh.
Very risk averse.
Yeah. So he's just like, I don't know. What was the question?
But then I was also going to, anyway, we were talking about whether your brothers were close with
like, they don't, dad. I don't think they really call him. I don't think they say, I don't think they're as open with their love.
Mm.
But I don't, not in a bad way. But it's like, you've got to tell him this is, it's now or never. Like, this is our one time, our one shot with him.
This one life with him, yeah.
Sometimes I love him so much. Actually, this is true for you too. So much that it feels like a firework going up inside of me and it has nowhere Aww. To go. I really do feel that.
That's sweet.
And it's like, well, I have to tell him, but I never text you that. I told you yesterday, you texted me a nice thing. And I was like, oh, I almost texted you a gay thing earlier. And then I didn't want to be gay and weird.
No, I never feel that way. I'm always flattered.
Well, great.
And grateful. But yes, what is a boys club you were not a part of?
Okay, a boys club that I was not a part of. Okay, so I never got into gaming.
Mm-hmm.
At any step of the way. Like, okay. I played Animal Crossing very mildly and also Roller Coaster Tycoon because I was a capitalist.
Roller Coaster Tycoon is where you build roller coasters and uh-huh. you sell tickets to the roller coasters.
Yes, to a whole amusement park.
Okay.
But, like, I was never involved in games, and now I don't like that because I think that it would be really mindful to play games.
Mm.
Like, I think being into video games actually is cool.
Okay, cool. I played video games when I was young, like, a little bit. My parents, like, I got a GameCube for Christmas when I was maybe like 9, 8. I forget how old I was. And we would play like Mario Kart and stuff like that with my siblings. They were very much no games that were over rated E for everyone. It had to be like the like
I forgot they had ratings.
G level rating, no like TV MA or whatever the fuck.
Yeah.
Mature, teen, whatever. So I played like when I was a kid. And then I didn't play so much when I was in middle. Like by middle school, we had like a Wii and we would play like Rock Band. Like, we always had, like, those kinds of games, like the, like Wii Sports.
Tennis.
There's four of us, so we gotta, like, take turns and play games that we can all play and stuff, so we didn't really have anything.
I think four is the perfect number of kids.
It was really nicely balanced.
When all these people, nobody wants kids anymore, and it's like, did you not like growing up around other people?
I don't even know if it's people don't want kids anymore so much as it is, like, people know it's expensive.
People are obsessed with bringing that up. It will expensive. Always work itself out. Things always work out.
No, totally.
Privileged cake. I can tell you. Things have always worked out for me.
I mean, it's expensive now. It's expensive. It's always been expensive. It's more expensive than it's ever been to have a kid. And also, like, people are making less money. So I think people are ready later to financially.
They have got to get the price of having a kid down.
Well, it's crazy because they're on the one hand trying to, like, outlaw abortion and make us more domesticated and, like, whatever, but they're also not making it affordable to do that, so they're not incentivizing anybody to want to do that, naturally.
Mm.
Anyway, but I, something about kids. Oh, anyway, so, yeah, we had four kids. Anyway, we had to play these games. And then I, like, didn't really play a lot in middle or high school because I was, like, kind of, like, boys play video games and I was feeling really, like, weird about my gender and stuff.
Mm.
And so I was like, oh, I guess I don't really play video games anymore. And then, like, a lot of the games that the guys would play would be, like, Call of Duty and things like that that I just, like, also just, like, naturally was not drawn to and did not understand.
I'm sad about that.
I had such a fight with my college boyfriend about Call of Duty because he was, like, a really, yeah, he was a big into video games. And I was like, I just, like, don't understand, like, the war video games. Like, it feels like they just shouldn't make those, which I still stand by. I think it's crazy that they make those.
I know.
It's, like, weird. It'd be one thing if it was, like, a war video game of, like, an old war. But the fact that it's, like, active, like, things happening in the world, like, it's, like, you're in Call of Duty, like, in Afghanistan. Ugh. It's so horrible.
I know. That's dumb. I literally just want a video game where it's, like, oh, no, I can pretend to have a family. No, I can actually, like, raise
a webkin from scratch. Yes. No, totally. But you know what I mean? I feel like, I mean,
yes, that's crazy.
Our friend and fellow comedian, shout out Ebon Kulkarni, has this really funny joke where he's like, I don't think kids should play those. Like, you shouldn't just be like 12 deploying to Iraq. And it's like, literally, like, that's crazy.
He's been on this podcast.
He has been on this podcast. And anyway, so we got in a fight about that because he thought that you should be able to see the opportunity. You should be able to experience it. And I was like,
well, here's the thing. If there is a reason,
sorry, did I just say his
totally
name?
Not? Yeah, just cut it.
Oh, doesn't matter.
If there is a reason, it's definitely not that. Like, that's for sure not the one. I don't know. Like, maybe there's some argument to be made, but, like, that feels like so crazy.
I just, like, don't know.
Also really offensive to veterans.
Yeah.
See, we every so often
we come to the aid of veterans.
Show up for veterans on this podcast. Like every 4th of July, we're like, maybe with fireworks, maybe don't.
Yeah.
Maybe the true magic of the 4th of July is your father's love, and he made you a hot dog. It's not so, like, unregistered people just throwing fire up into the sky that upsets veterans and also dogs.
Agree.
It's crazy.
Agree. Well, anyway, so we got in a fight about that one time. But I have recently gotten really into video games. I've been playing Spider-Man pretty much nonstop. Almost, I would call it, with OCD-like tendencies, I've been playing Spider-Man.
Wait, how'd you get it?
Not nonstop, but my roommate, Sam, shout out, sweet Sam, has an extra PlayStation when he got a PS5, and so we put it in the living room, and then we put Spider-Man on it.
Oh, did I watch you play this?
You might have.
I did at Sam Schaefer's house.
You swing around and you fight people.
I literally don't get it.
Well,
I don't get how you know how to do all the things with your hands.
Well, you learn along the way. So when you first start the game, usually they're like, they put you into... I was also trying to, like, because I never played video games, I've been playing it over and over again, sort of as an exercise in understanding how video games work.
I wish we had more gay people, because I want to make a Fire Island one, but I don't think that there's, like... I actually, it's like, oh, you're going down the meat, or like lurking down the meat rack.
Oh my God. That could be such a, because sometimes there's aspects of video games where you're like being sneaky. And so you have to like sneak around. So it's like, you're sneaking through you're sneaking through the dunes. Like, that's so funny. Oh my God.
People wouldn't buy it. There's not enough of an audience, I guess.
That would be so funny. And then you're like, have a mission where you're looking for a third.
You're looking for poppers. You're
trying to escape to Cherry Grove.
You're looking for yourself.
Yeah.
That's what all of the, ultimately, I guess everyone in Fireland is looking for, is themselves.
Yeah. And community, probably. And poppers and love.
Yeah. It's like, if you can get enough cis gay guys around you, then maybe you can figure out who you are too.
Yeah. True.
If you guys want to add anyone to your gay group chat, I have a recommendation. Me. Add me. I want to be in your gay group chat. I'm in your gay group chat.
But anyway, so you never were into video games. Did you ever play like Dance Dance Revolution?
I don't do sports. I feel like that's a sport.
A little bit, yeah.
That one's like really intense. I would play Karaoke Revolution, where it would just be a child singing the most devastating song you ever heard. So it'd be like,
you're so gay and you don't even like boys.
Yes. Katy Perry, could you imagine? It would be like Michelle Branch, you're everywhere to me.
When I close my eyes, it's you.
And it knew if you were on pitch or not. Have you played this?
I've played a similar game, and I was never on pitch.
It's a really stressful... One of the biggest songs I would do is Drive by Incubus. I remember that. Do you know that song?
I don't think so.
No way. Yeah. That was like a really weird part of life. Pieces of Me by Ashley Simpson was on there.
Pieces of me.
That was a great song.
Yeah. Wow. What's she up to these days?
I just think she made a bunch of money in the early 2000s, and she's kind of good.
Good for her.
She maybe is dating Pete or married to Pete Wentz. I don't know.
More people should do that.
Yeah, more people should chill the fuck out and go away.
Make some money and then just...
Yeah, I'm trying to do that.
Stop making companies.
I need someone to give me a huge opportunity because so I can have kids at 36.
I wonder, this is my wondering for rich people. And rich people, if you're listening, write in. Like really rich celebrities, artists, whatever. You know, a lot of times they'll be doing their craft. That's usually how they start making their money, right? They're, you know, getting rich from doing projects or selling records or going on tour, whatever they do. And then a lot of artists end up like making these sort of small, startups, companies. They're selling a skincare brand.
Vita, tequila, not that. It's like Lisa Bartlett, not a good example. But like usually often
but yeah.
a liquor.
Well, yeah,
if you're a guy, you're making an alcohol brand or a restaurant.
True.
And if you're a girl, you're going to give us a lip kit.
And if you're non-binary, you're probably not rich. Just kidding.
That's
well,
true.
It's just the stats.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I wish more trans people had money. But anyway, Connor nodded along.
thank you for saying that. I can't bring this up, but I never mind. I got into a fight with someone because I was like, I do think that like in general, non-binary people would fall under the trans umbrella.
Yeah.
Okay, I know.
Who said that?
Because I'm a really good listener. Some guy, some gay guy was trying to tell me that. Yes.
All right.
Wait, people, when people don't trust me, it's like, what, you think I don't read? You think I don't listen? You think I don't read this podcast?
I was responding to somebody in an email the other day who was referring to the trans community in a positive way. They were saying, like, I forget the exact acronym, but there's like trans non-binary 2-spirit plus or something like that. TNB 2S plus. I think that's like the general, whatever. But I forgot the acronym, so I just said trans plus.
What email is this? No, it was rude to ask because in my head it was, I was in soccer world. And it was like,
no. It was like a show that I did. Anyway, what were we just talking about? Oh, rich people. Okay. So a lot of times, yeah, they start these companies and stuff. And I wonder how often it is that like they really are just into these, you know, spiked peach teas or whatever the fuck they're making. Or is it like some sort of tax write-off or like business maneuvering that I'm not aware of? That's like, if you want to make, you know, if you're an artist who like might not do more projects or might just fall at the whim of whatever the industry gives you, like, are you supposed to be investing in other things? And that's like how you make more money, because it seems like
I imagine
like
that
money
it's
waste.
The way to get crazy money is,
yeah,
like that's a really great question. We should get someone on here to explain it to us, honestly. But like, I feel like that is where you can go from a millionaire to a billionaire.
Yeah, but it feels so if that's the case, then I think that they should stop doing that because it's so wasteful.
Yes, but like Ariana Grande has an amazing perfume, and I have it in my bathroom.
So perfumes are different because a perfume feels like, okay, we could have sort of an abundance of, like, I don't know. A perfume is artful to me, and there could be like an abundance of those things. And it is a commodity, but it's also like an artistic thing. Like,
I really want to have my own perfume, but I like the ones that are already around. So it's like, what problem am I solving?
Yeah, yeah. And there's something artful about, and there also is like a history of like artists having a signature scent. Like, that feels very like whatever.
Yeah.
But when it's like just another fucking like seltzer brand or another like, yeah, tequila, I'm like, do we need that? I don't think so. It just feels like late
Here's
stage
thing,
capitalist
though, I want
waste.
For us, I want us to have a tequila brand.
I don't.
Could you see us on a ranch together? Is that, do you know, I kind of see the vision that I'm trying to involve right now?
Because I think like, here's what I'm, I guess, trying to get at. Like, if, though I love the idea of the two of us on a ranch with cowboy hats on, but it's like its own version of what's that called?
Brokeback Mountain. Brokeback Mountain, but they kind of could relax a little bit more.
Yeah.
There's a little chill.
Brokeback Mountain, but they have a podcast.
They have a podcast. Their pants are going to stay on.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Their wives aren't mad.
Yeah, and nobody's going up on that mountain or whatever.
Mm-hmm. I know what you do on that mountain.
I know what you do. Never forget.
Have you seen that movie?
No.
Okay, so one time I gave Nico a tag for a joke about Brokeback Mountain, and it played to silence. And that was the last time you asked me for any help.
That's not true. It made me laugh because it played to such silence. I was like, God, not even Michael Aver liked that one. Anyway.
What's more stressful, telling your own jokes or watching someone else do a tag that you gave them? And you're just like, God, please laugh.
But anyway, okay, on the topic of rich celebrities, it's like, if I had a lot of money and was successful already in my career as a stand-up and a writer and an actor and all the others, whatever, and was making TV and film and was like touring and doing specials and was getting to do all the things I want to do, I think if I had gotten to a point with myself where I'm like, wow, I've made a ton of money, I don't really feel any creative drive you know, because I would imagine that I would continue to feel this drive to create my entire life. That's the only thing I've ever, I've always felt this, that I've wanted to make things.
Someone just said that she doesn't want to do music ever again anymore. Who was it? It was a person that felt important. No, I don't remember who it was.
But a famous artist.
Correct.
Rihanna.
Is it?
I mean, she hasn't been doing music. But like somebody like that. Okay, whatever. So it's like, all right, let's say I got to a point I don't want to do anything anymore. But I have all this time now. I don't think I'm going to be like, why don't I start a business? Because that sounds like a lot more like not fun work. Because the business side of work for us is the least fun
part.
What
we talk about is that we don't want to be, I don't know if I can out you as this, you can say it. We don't want to be personalities.
No.
We're totally down to host your thing for a ton of money. But yeah. We're not trying to be personalities. We don't want that. And I feel like to be a business, it's like also feels like it's a personality thing.
Yeah.
Like, no.
It just feels, yeah, it feels like.
I want to start a production company.
I'd rather do that,
but
yeah.
I think that there's a couple steps first.
But that feels like that's a natural way of creating a company within an industry that you work in. Like, to then go outside of it to just be like, I have a passion for children's pajamas or whatever it is. Like,
you're dragging Jessica Alba.
Oh, sorry, Jessica Alba.
And that other Jessica.
Simpson.
Jennifer Garner. They both own, like, baby brands.
And that's no, I'm not saying we shouldn't have, we obviously need babies' clothing, but, like.
And you're dragging everyone who's ever been on Real Housewives. They all own a business.
Well, they already did own businesses, though, right? And that's why they're the Real Housewives?
What? No.
Like, don't they have something before they're plucked to be on Andy Cohen's House of Fun?
Just a big personality.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's all you need. But you know what I'm saying? Like, I feel like there's, like, this that gap to close from millionaire to billionaire is just greed-driven. And just, like, status-driven, and just it's just money-hungry, and it's, like, just creating so much waste.
I hear you.
Yeah.
But then there's this part of me, and it might be the ugliest part, that's like, I get it. And it's like, yes, acquire.
I mean, I get the urge to want more money, because I don't have a lot, I don't have enough. I mean, I have enough to sustain myself, but I don't have enough to, like, stop working.
Like,
obviously.
I think that the bar will always change too. Like, whatever feels like enough now, like, that's going to move.
But that's the thing that's what's hard, I think, is for, like, is putting your foot down and saying, I'm not going to try to keep up with all these people around me who are needlessly creating these things and needlessly making more money so that they can just do more shit that they can, like, feel, you know, rich about or whatever. Like, if I have enough to keep my place and keep my family.
If you had
good,
to do your business, what would it be? You had to.
Ugh, I have to have a business?
You have to.
Am I trying to make money or am I trying to make...
Do one of each. One that you think would make money and one that you think would be joy.
Okay. If it was joy, maybe I would start my own soccer club or something.
Oh, great.
But I don't know that we need more of that, nor do I know if I want to get into that.
That sounds stressful, honestly.
Yeah.
But you...
But I'd rather, like, get into, like, coaching or something if I was going to do it for joy. Mm-hmm. And then if I was going to do something for money, something that's really cheap to make and would definitely sell, maybe I would do, like, maybe I would do some sort of, like, t-shirt or apparel brand that's, like, specifically for, like, trans people.
That's cool.
Yeah, maybe I would do that. But it feels like that's a losing battle.
I don't know.
Because the brands that are small enough to, like, make stuff for that niche of a market, and, like, especially these days, like, getting the right fabrics and making sure everything's eco-friendly and nothing's, like, it's not fast fashion and all that stuff, like, then the shirts have to be $75 or whatever. And it's like, well, that's now lost its luster.
Yeah.
So
I know, like, it's a bummer that Target divested. Target was really into trans for a second, and then people got mad, and then it was okay, sorry.
Yeah, and then they were like, oh, just kidding, we'll also be mad at them.
Fuck you, Target.
No need to have a backbone.
Although, I'm doing this thing right now. Okay, so, like, ever so often, a product that I love will go on sale, and it'll be such a big sale that I will...
buy them all.
And the problem is the sale goes until 11, too, so you're like, I'm going to be going to every Target all over the city.
Oh, my Christ.
Like, I bought 28... yesterday.
Nick's Swedish ice creams.
No, I'm off that. Did I tell you I'm off that?
Really?
I'm not doing aspartame anymore. I'm not doing fake shit.
Right.
I'm not doing fake. I'm healing my gut.
Super gut.
I'm healing a super I'm healing my gut. Super gut. A book that I have that I got on my dad's Amazon. Thank you, Dad. It's right under gay bar and on directing film. Under directing film and gay bar.
This section's got you nailed.
Do you think so?
Super gut, gay bar, and on directing film.
I worry when people look at it, they're like, who's this? Because it also, right above it, it's Out of the Wreck.
Where did you
get
this directing film book?
I got it on Amazon, my dad's Amazon.
Okay, okay. I want to look at that.
Oh, totally, you have to. David Mamet.
Yeah, yeah, very nice.
And then ultimately, I yesterday I bought 28 La Colombe things, only 7 4 packs. And I'm going to try to get like stockpile enough for the rest of the year by 11/2 because it's a huge sale
when
at Target.
The Armageddon comes. I know where I'm coming.
But it is like this thing where it's like, it always is like, it's always one product goes on sale and it's like, well, this is, there goes my month.
Did you ever see The Last of Us?
No.
Did you ever see the third episode of The Last of Us?
Is it the gay one?
Yeah.
No.
Okay.
I should.
You should watch, you don't have to watch the whole series to just watch that one. It's like a bottle episode. You can totally, I actually recommend anybody at home who's listening, even if you didn't watch The Last of Us on HBO, watch the third episode. It's a bottle episode, meaning that you can watch it without knowing what's going on. All the only context you need to know is that there's been a zombie apocalypse. That's the conceit for the show. But it's basically, it's these two men who meet, and one of them has set up like this crazy, like self-sustaining house, basically, like to live out this.
Is it futuristic?
Epidemic. I mean, like,
did
lightly
endemic?
Epidemic.
Oh, okay.
It's like lightly futuristic. I feel like the initial like zombies have taken over like scene from the opening takes place in like, I want to say like 2000, like 2008 or 2009. So presumably it's happening in like real time now, but it is like the future kind of.
That's cool.
Yeah.
I should watch that. I'm obsessed with how it's all going to end. I think about it all the time.
Yeah. It's like, I mean, this one's scary because it was like, I mean, I assume this is sort of factually based, but basically with the rising temperatures, these fungi are like sort of like mutating in weird ways, which is how they became this like flesh eating fungi. So that's something to think
about. Are they
about.
Like zombies? Mm-hmm. Or like zombies? Like they move and they hit you.
Yeah. So the at least in The Last of Us, there's like just the kind of regular ones who like eat you, and then there's these ones called clickers that have these like weird, like more like zombie like monster like heads that just like, and then they come eat you.
That could happen.
I mean, it's the show. That part's the show. I think the part that could happen is like over time, because of global warming and because of rising temperatures, certain things like that will happen where these like weird fungi like can, whether, I mean, if they evolve to a fully like flesh eating form, I don't know if that will happen, but
bro, I'm out the very beginning. I'm out day one.
No, I was saying this. I'm not The Last of Us. I'm the first of us. Like I'm getting out of there.
We're getting the fuck
getting
out
of here. But I don't know. You're prepping. So
I'll see you in heaven, dude.
You're prepping.
I tell my dad, I say, you die, you leave the door ajar up there. I'm coming right behind you.
Jesus Christ.
I said, we'll get a 2-for-1 deal.
He'll say, can you please not? He said, can I have at least this time in peace?
I do really, like, I don't fear my own death because, like, if you die, you get to go with you. But I do really greatly fear the deaths of every single person that I care about at all.
No, totally. That is always way scarier to me than my own death.
And actually, I think people that do fear their own death, they're weird. Not it's too hard of an opinion.
That's a real. I mean, a lot of people fear death. Yeah, Connor put his foot pedal to the metal on that one. Sorry to anybody who felt.
I'm sorry.
No, I mean, I think a lot of people fear death.
I know. There's like, there's someone listening, like in a hospital bed, and I'm just like, I feel horrible. And I'm like, I didn't mean that.
I think it's like if I think we have to. We all have some sort of innate human balance of a fearing death because if we didn't. We wouldn't know to not, you know, die.
Yeah.
Any, you know, not step in the road and things like that. But also not fearing death so that we would not just be so panic ridden that we couldn't live.
God, that's really hard.
You know, I mean, it's such as the human condition.
Like maybe when I'm 40, I'll wake up one day and be like, oh, I'm actually terrified of death.
Yeah, I think as you get older and you get closer to being over the hill. I mean, I was just listening to Mike Birbiglia's podcast when he was talking to, what's his name from Fresh Air? Not Fresh Air.
I know who you're talking about just because of how intense of a thing it is. I know who you're saying. He's been on 3 times.
Yes. Ira Glass. Thank you.
Of course.
Ira Glass.
Yes.
I said that like somebody else told me. Ira Glass. Thank you. Thank you myself. Ira Glass. He was talking about his story about like, you know, his newest show called Old Man in the Pool was about a lot about like middle age and being sort of over the hill. And his like whole bit is like, I didn't really realize the phrase over the hill until you're at the top of the hill and you're like, oh my God, there's natural causes and like things like that. And
yeah.
like that. So it was making me realize, oh, part of the reason I probably don't think about these things is because I'm young and because I'm not feeling like I have to think about them yet.
Yeah.
But yeah.
I know. I really struggle with this.
I worry so much more about other people's deaths, though, because I worry a lot about my own capacity to continue on in a life without them.
But you will.
I know, and it's crazy that, and people do, and that is crazy to me. It feels like it's the most upending, earth-shattering thing that can happen. I'm literally so sorry if somebody's like recently lost someone. It's like, I can't listen to my favorite podcast
I know,
anymore.
Did we ruin this?
I'm so sorry. We've taken it to a dark place.
Nothing lasts, I know the deal. You know who sings that? Billie Eilish. And it's so beautiful because the way she sings it, it's like...
I love her.
She sings it about like a breakup. I should bring it to a breakup.
we'll pair it back from death and just go to breakups, okay? We'll make it easier, you guys.
It's like, can you stop talking about your ex and start talking about the great unknown, please?
Can you guys please start talking about the vast oblivion that is the unknown? Hey, boys, love the podcast. Wish you would talk more about the vast oblivion that is the unknown.
I think about it all the time. Okay, I think like the idea of death is so beautiful, and that it's like if we were going to live forever,
life would have no meaning.
What would this be? Mm-hmm. What would this? The idea that we're all going to die, it like makes it okay that you were like weird to someone the other day. Like it just like make it's like oh it's. So, like, it's weird that we're so anxious because we also are armed with the knowledge that this is all just going to come to a halting stop. Mm-hmm. And then we're just going to kind of, like, be dust up into the sky. Sure. And I don't know, but which it is oftentimes a very calming thought, but then sometimes scary.
You know, I got to say, like, there are times where I find that in my adulthood, I am more grateful for the fact that I was raised Catholic than not. Mm. Because I think it's given me a lot of perspective and discipline in certain respects that I like. I don't know how much that is my family and how much of that is Catholicism. But I think one thing is that, like, I think you can never fully I don't know. Part of me feels like you kind of never unlearn the religion you're born with. Obviously, there are people who convert. Obviously, there are people who are adults that, you know, convert to other religions. And then but that's not my experience. I don't know if you find your faith as an adult, and that's like a really beautiful thing. I think that's wonderful. But I'm grateful that even if I'm at a point in my life where I'm like, I don't think that the Bible is like the law. I don't think that the Christian doctrine is the law. I don't think that like it's a literal thing. I don't even think God is as they describe in the Bible necessarily. I think it's a much more, I don't know, ethereal thing, less of a man in the sky than like an idea or a sense or a feeling or something. But that said, because I was raised with the idea that there is an afterlife and there is a God, I think that there's something in me that will never shake that. Mm-hmm. And that I will always feel the comfort that like it'll be okay.
No, totally.
Whereas if I was raised without any sort of faith, I think I would just be so scared.
I know. Well, that's why I think atheists kind of bum me out.
Well, that's why, like, I don't know.
It's not romantic
at
all.
If I had a kid, I wouldn't really know how to describe that to them.
I think I'd be like, when you die, we're all going to be together and heaven will be really great.
Yeah, that's true. I guess you could frame it that way.
Because it's like, maybe that's true. And if not, well, we're not going to find out because we're not all in heaven together. So it's like, there's no alternative. Yeah. Alternative is you'll never know. So like, whatever.
When you think that you want to have a kid, like, what age are you picturing?
Well, I don't know. It's hard because like, can I give three options?
You can say whatever you want.
36 would be the earliest, but that feels really soon.
Sorry, let me phrase this again. When you're thinking about the child, what age are you picturing that kid to be? You said 36.
The way
like,
that
oh,
I'm just
totally,
like...
You're like, you know, I'm really excited for when they're 36 and I'm 70.
I just like feel like I'm not ready for a kid because of my own self obsession. I just like couldn't even answer that question. How old do I?
Like, when you're imagining a kid in your mind, or you're imagining yourself as a parent, like, what is the image that comes to you of like what age that child is?
4.
Okay.
I don't really know. I don't think I've ever met a baby, like ever.
Nice to meet you, baby.
And I feel like a 12-year-old would resent me no matter what.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. But I feel the same way. I'm like, if I think about my, like, I don't know, the kids at work that I work with that I think are like the most fun or like the cutest or whatever, it's like kind of like 3 to 6 maybe. Mm. And anything outside that range, I mean 2 to 6 I guess is cute, but anything outside that range, I'm like, I don't know that I would like, I don't know. After they leave that like kid stage, it's like they're this like other thing. But like, I don't really care about teenagers.
I get that, and then it's like, well, I hope that you've developed an attachment to them. Do you develop because it's your child? Mm-hmm. Does that happen? What if it doesn't happen?
If you don't attach,
that's scary too. What if you have a crazy kid? What if you get a fucking lunatic?
That's like in Search Party when they adopt that kid. John Early's character adopts that kid, and he's like weird.
See, that does scare me. Like, I don't know. I have a lot of weird stuff in my family history. My dad's whole family is so wacky. No offense.
Yeah.
It's like, what if I pass that on? But I'm totally going to worth the risk. I fucking do it. But that is why I think you should have 3 out of 4.
Right.
Because you can afford to have like kind of a weird one. If you have
more evidence that you're ready for a child.
It's like too many eggs in one basket.
Yeah.
You can't do, you got to spread you out.
You
got to
spread out your.
It's like when you, yeah, it's like a raffle. There's a bunch of options. You should put a little in each.
Yeah, right. You don't want to.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know that I would want, I don't know. I just find it would be hard to.
I think it'd be such a great dad.
Thank you. I just don't know that I want to at this moment.
I feel like you're going to change your mind in 5 years.
I might. I mean, I
probably in 12 years.
I feel open to changing my mind. I also feel open to the idea. Like, I mean, to this point, the other thing about like creative stuff, it's like I feel that I'm not at a place to take my foot off the gas on that. And I don't feel like I'm at a place to focus on anything else, or I don't want to focus on anything else. And selfishly, I want to focus on my work.
Uh-huh.
So I don't feel like I obviously would have the time or the money or the bandwidth for a kid at the moment. That said, it's like, yeah, like to that point earlier, if like you get to the end, you know, if this goes for any career, you get to the point where you're in your like your 40s and you're sort of at like, you've kind of maxed out what you can do. Or like, you know, obviously with creative careers, there's like always like projects you can do. But if you have a more traditional career, like you're, you know, you've made partner at your law firm, or you're like at the top of the pyramid, or whatever, you know, you've like,
fucking loser. Sorry.
No, but like, you know what I mean? Like there's nowhere else for you to go career wise necessarily.
Yes.
I see the idea of like, okay, what else does my life hold? I love my partner and we've traveled a lot. Like, what else does my life hold? Like, then maybe it's like, okay, what if I gave this all up to then spend the rest of my life dedicated to somebody else?
But I also think that when you, yes, I feel like when you have a kid, though, it's like you still have to do, you'd still be a writer.
No, you still have to be at a place where you're doing, you still have to do it. You have to fill your cup so you can fill somebody else's cup. Like, you have to be sustained in doing.
Or like that one time when I told that girl in a Whole Foods, I have nothing to give you for my cup. Did I tell you this? I have nothing to give you for my cup. Quite literally asked me a question. I have nothing to give you for my cup. My cup is so empty.
I don't know. Anyway, I think there's a chance I could. I don't know. We'll see.
Well, maybe I'll die, and then you'll get stuck with my kids.
Adopt your child. Oh my god,
my four kids. So you had to have four kids.
I said, really, you had to adopt 4 children, so that I could then re-adopt.
No,
four
I want
children.
Surrogacy. We okay, just
you had to
this.
Surrogate.
You're anti-surrogacy.
I'm
for
not
gay
anti-surrogacy.
Guys. I changed your mind.
Listen, I'm not anything.
I'm
not anti-any. No.
Wait, we'll cut the part where I did that.
No, you keep it. Keep it.
We're keeping
the
part.
Like the record show. No, I'm not anti-surrogacy at all. I think anybody should be able to have a kid whatever way they can. There are also plenty of children out there who do need homes. That's a fact.
I know that joke I tried to do about never works ever, but I still keep doing it where it's like, oh, there's when people are like, oh, like you should adopt. There's so many kids. Gay guys should adopt. There's so many kids that need love and kindness. And it's like, have you met a gay guy?
Which I love works. That joke. I think it's funny.
I'm waiting for the right audience.
I think it's funny.
If you're the right audience, come to my show.
Come to our show. Yeah. But the, anyway, the, if you had surrogates and then I adopted those kids, that's like that movie.
Raising Helen.
Maybe.
With Kate Hudson.
And what's the guy's name? Mm. With blue eyes.
Patrick Dempsey?
No, it's not Patrick Dempsey. There's a movie about these exes who are like good friends. Like basically like two couples used to be friends. One of them breaks up. The other one have a kid, but then they die in a car accident, and they've named those two the legal guardians. So they like kind of have to come back together to raise this kid.
Back when people were making movies.
Yeah.
That sounds like a great movie.
Yeah. I mean, I never saw it, but I remember seeing the trailer for it.
That sounds sick as hell.
So that's what happens to me. It's except you die, and then I have four kids that I have to take care of alone.
But you wouldn't be just alone kidding, because I'm you would look Maddie. Up to the sky and you would see me
and
up
I
there.
Would see you and I would say, I'm look always up present. At your papa.
I'm always around.
And they'd be like, what was papa like? And I would say, you know, he was just a gay guy.
Just a regular gay guy.
No, I would play these in the car for them. I would say, listen to your papa.
What's a side?
I said, we're not ready for that.
Okay,
I said, that's why your father couldn't have you the regular way.
I don't know. What if I was straight, would it be different?
What?
Because I guess like, oh, I don't know. I took it to a crazy place.
If but you
like,
were straight, what would be different?
Like, are there straight guys that are science?
Oh, probably.
That's got to be worse.
I mean, there are definitely straight cis men who prefer oral and what is it, hand sex than than like penetrative sex. There are certainly cis women who prefer other or don't right. even or don't even really get much from penetrative sex anyway. So you're not alone.
Oh, I was going to vote the election, but then I was alone. Like, don't. So it was like, there's lots of Republicans that are actually secretly voting for Harris. People keep saying that. And I was like, do you think that's true about sides? That there's like a lot that are secretly sides and they're just like not vocal.
God, I hope there's a lot secretly voting for Harris. Fingers fucking crossed.
I have a really good feeling about it. And like, I never have good feelings.
Okay. Well, that's
good. I
have
a really good feeling about it. I've kind of decided that like, regardless, like we're going to be here being gay as hell. And
well...
Oh, you don't think? Oh my God, are you? I feel bad. I feel privileged.
Well, I mean, I think in New York State we're gonna be okay, kind of regardless of the outcomes of the election. That said, obviously, if Trump becomes president, that's a much more scary outcome because he is an insane, galvanizing dictator.
Yes.
Yeah.
Wait, people need to know that I was really anxious 3 months ago, and then actually had to become this way to preserve myself.
Yeah.
I'm worried that people are going to think that I don't care. It's
no,
not
yeah,
that.
I know you care.
I literally was like, I can.
If anybody listens to this podcast regularly, they know that you have a lot of informed opinion, vaguely informed opinions. I only say vaguely because it's NBC.
I'm on Twitter.
Yeah.
I go on Twitter.
It's like news, gay guy, news, gay guy, news.
Every day I just Google Kamala Trump polls, knowing that the polls don't mean, and like they're not only do they not mean anything, I think they're manipulative.
I've never been polled. Exactly. Yeah. Well, that's the thing too. It's like if the campaigns are putting out this information, it's like I don't believe that they're. I just got a text today that said it could come down to 50,000 votes or something, and I was like,
in Georgia,
Jesus Christ.
Well, because we're really important because I'm from Pennsylvania. I was trying to say this to someone and they didn't even care to listen. I'm from Pennsylvania. Uh-huh. You're from Georgia, and we both went to school in North Carolina. Those are the only three states that matter, other than Michigan, Wisconsin, or Arizona, whatever.
Arizona, yeah.
But like that like if
I mean to
we're
be
so powerful
to be in a battleground state. Period.
We should have gone to North Carolina.
I wonder if Florida. I mean, I'm going to be there next week.
Are you going to like knock? Are you okay?
Or this week as of this.
Raleigh?
Yeah. I'm hoping that nobody shows up to these shows that doesn't already know something
well,
about me.
Oh, I don't mean that. Duh.
Oh, just in general?
I just feel crazy that I said that now, so I'm trying to walk it back. I'm so sorry. Wait, my brother's going there November 5th.
Well,
is that when you're there?
No.
He's going to Alamance County, which is the
jail
I was
day.
In. Yeah, it's related to that.
Why is he going there?
I don't really get what he does.
Okay.
I don't really understand.
Okay. Well, that was another episode of the podcast.
Wait, here's the thing. If this episode was bad, maybe like look in and say, now, why did I think it was bad? What about me responding poorly to this honest conversation about the realities of being a human in a burning world?
And listen, we are doing our best to give free podcasting out. You know, so you know, we're coming out with some really exciting stuff. So watch this space, as they say. And then pretty soon you'll see why these podcasts were
bad.
Not bad, just less prepped than. Well, we're never prepped. Let's be honest. But we haven't had a
That's
guest
why
in
I'm
a while.
Sorry.
We haven't had a guest in a while. But we'll be getting back.
We'll
into
be
it.
Getting back with a guest. Our next guest is Rose Kelso.
We can have Rose back.
Can we get Rose back?
I don't care. Let's have Rose back. That was
Let's
great.
Let's get freaking Rose back.
Let's
in
get
here.
Rose back in the raft.
I think Rose could fucking
Rose
light
get
this
on
shit
the raft.
Up.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, we'll get Rose. And also, if you guys have any people that you loved the first time and want to have back, message us. We can always get people back on the pod. So, for the most part. If you
may
are,
think this was boring, but nevertheless, it's really inspiring that either of us even have a podcast, given what we've been through.
given what we've been through in our history. If you're listening to this, the day it comes out, I will be in Raleigh, North Carolina this weekend at, I forget the name of the company.
Cat's Cradle.
Something like that. Yeah.
I don't know. Okay. Like
I'll be in Raleigh, North Carolina this weekend. Tickets are in my Instagram. They're also in the link of this show. I will be in DC next week. After the election, and then I'll be back in New York. We're both going to be doing shows the second week of November, 14th and 15th.
That sounds right.
In New York for New York Comedy Festival.
Come to Connor Janda and Friends.
Yeah, come to Connor Janda and Friends, and then come to my hour on the 15th at Union Hall.
I don't know if
then...
it's Connor Janda and Friends. I just don't want to do an hour. Stop doing it.
But it might be Connor Janda and Friends or Lovers. And then I'll be in Indianapolis in December. All those tickets are in my Instagram. And
could you imagine me loving a person that was capable of doing a performance or a set at one time? Was
no.
capable of creating something?
No, I can't actually.
Couldn't be me, never happened.
I couldn't picture it, yeah. All right, Connor. I love you.
I love you, bye.
What's up, boys at home? Thank you so much for listening to our podcast, Boys Club. Connor, where can they find you on Instagram?
At Connor Janda, C-O-N-O-R. Janda is panda with a J.
And you can follow me at Nico Carney, N-I-C-O-C-A-R-N-E-Y. You can follow us both at Boys Club Comedy on Instagram. And we have a live show.
Our live show is at Club Coming, typically on the last Friday of the month. And it is always the two of us and some of our favorite funny people. And we'd love to see you there.
Yeah, often people from the podcast. So come check those out. If you live in New York, we'd love to see you there. Bye, boys.
Bye, boys.